I'm going to call this meeting to order at 4:03 p.m. This is a special meeting for Tuesday, April 19th. We're going to talk about recreational maintenance bonds. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
I will, Mr. Mayor. Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Steve Culligan is here, I have seen him. Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Randall Kowalki.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I did see Senator Culligan someplace in here, so we'll wait a second. Let's go to approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? My understanding, we got two. Senator Kowalki?
Yes, the first change is I would like, after the pledge, to have a short presentation by the borough appraiser for an update on the Willow Burn area.
Any objection to some members? It'd be an update on, it's basically the Sockeye Fire assessments, and they're going to talk about that briefly, so. Any objection from any some members? Seeing none, that one's approved.
The second item is to move, since we're talking about the recreation bond, to move audience participation down and have that follow after the recreation bond discussion.
That'd be item number five. Audience participation would go behind item six, our item of business tonight. Any objection from any some members? Senator Mayfield?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that there's members of the audience out here who may want to speak in favor or opposed to the bond package. So it would seem wise to keep that right before our entertaining the recreational bond discussion.
Senator Member Beck?
Yeah, I guess I share Assemblymember Mayfield's concern a little bit. I would maybe the maker of the motion, if maybe you would consider adding an additional audience participation just in case they want to stick around. You know, my assumption is maybe some of them want to speak and leave, but it's your choice.
As an explanation, some of the folks here haven't been to all of the bond, rec bond presentations. Some of them were rather surprised to me, but what I wanted to do was, after we have our discussion, to have them in a position to comment on our discussion. So if that's to add an extra session, I'm fine with that as well.
Any some member have any problem with having two audience participations tonight? Seeing none, so ordered, we'll do our first audience participation right now. We have reached this as an opportunity to speak. Sorry about that. Senator Kowalki, could you lead us in the pledge? Thank you. Now we'll go to our audience participation. We do have a sign-up sheet, and you can speak now, or you can reserve it till after the. I guess the clerk would like it if you want to speak after our major agenda item talking about the rec bonds. She'll have a list. Please sign up for after too, and we'll start with.
Point of order. I believe we just approved to move the update on the Willow Burn assessment to right after the Pledge of Allegiance, didn't we?
You're perfectly correct, and the clerk and the mayor stand corrected. So, Mr. Who wants to give our presentation on the update on the assessment and fire situation?
Mr. Mayor, Borough Assembly, I'm Brad Pickett, Borough Assessor. This will be real brief, and one of the reasons is we do have some active appeals in the Sockeye Fire area, so I can't go into great detail, but I can give you an overview of where we're at right now. Before we sent out the assessment notices for value, we had three sales, and we had 15 listings. The sales at that time were 88% of assessed value. In other words, we were 12% below what the sales indicated with our assessed value. With the listings, we were at 65% of assessed value. Currently, we have 8 sales that are all post-fire sales. Our ratio with those post-fire sales are 82% of assessed value. Right now, we have 19 listings, and we're at 60% on those. All the indications that we have is the assessed value is not too high after the fire. I know this is hard to take. The folks that went through the fire have certainly suffered a loss, and we're not minimizing that, but we are looking at market data, and the market data doesn't indicate that we should make any further adjustment. And you know, that's essentially what I have. If you have questions, and I can answer them, I'd be happy to.
Senator Doty.
Thank you, through the mayor. Thanks for the report, Mr. Pickett. I'm sorry. My question is this. Can you give us an idea of what the trends were for those properties over the last 3 years? And that just helps look at whether it's been going up or flat.
Yeah, I can. And that area had been revalued, I believe, in 2014. It had not been reassessed for a number of years, so it did take a pretty big jump, I believe, for the 2015 tax year. We had quite a few sales. In fact, in that area that is in the Sockeye Fire burn area, we had 25 sales for the preceding 5 years before the fire. Our ratio at that time, based on those 25 sales, was 91% AS ratio. So we weren't too far off. I mean, that's reasonable in an area that doesn't have a lot of market activity, and that is not in the core area. So we were happy with 91%. Like I say, post-fire, we've dropped down to 82%. And there has been, if you look at the area, to have 8 post-fire sales, that's quite a bit of market activity for that area.
Senator Culligan.
Just to clarify for the layman here, so in the fire burn area, there were sales references and activity in the actual burn area or around the community that you use? I guess, could you clarify how that's done?
Are you talking pre-fire or post?
Post-fire.
Post-fire, all of the sales are in the fire area. They are properties that burned, with the exception of one property. We included it because to access that property, you have to drive through the burn area. So I think that it would be reflective as well of how the impact would be received by the market.
Senator Mayfield.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So, I'm not sure that I have an understanding of the ratios. Could you explain the post-fire ratios that you've been quoting as far as sale and listing? I believe you said 82% of the sales.
Correct.
And 60% of the listing. So how does that equate as far as property value? So if you have a $100,000 piece of property, what is that selling for now?
That would be $82,000. So if this is sold for $100,000 and our assessed value is $82,000, we'd be at 82%.
Okay.
So what it is it's the assessed value divided by the sales price ratio is what I'm referring to. We ran it the same way for the listings. With the listings, if it's listed for $100,000, our assessed value would be $60,000.
Senator McCaukey.
So if I understand clearly, then there were no sales before or after the fire that were below assessed value.
That is not correct. What we're looking at is the average. So we look at all of the sales together, and we look at the mean and the median. When we're doing this, we're not looking at each individual sale. There are a couple of the sales that are included in this group that are at 100% of assessed value, and we have one sale that was at 137% of assessed value out of the 8 post-fire sales.
is there any literature or information from some of the lower 48 states, California, Oregon, and some of those dry states, Utah, that have fires and how they handle these post-fire?
There is, and when this occurred last year, we actually reached out to other assessment areas in Colorado, Texas, you name it, Idaho, areas that do have forest fires. They actually sent back data to us, what they've seen. They sent us sales. Most of those states, when an area has burned, they do see a reflection in the assessed values that they're selling for less than they did before. We also reached out to the other municipalities in Alaska. Kenai and Fairbanks also both have more fires than we do, so we talked to them. You may have seen Kenai's assessor's response in the newspaper. They don't adjust land for fire. They have sales market data that indicates that they shouldn't adjust it. Fairbanks, the same way. They've had appeals based on this scenario, and they shared some of their appeals where they went to the board and proved that the property did not sell for less after the fire. So both those jurisdictions do not adjust.
There's no adjustment for psychological eyesore?
Pardon me?
Well, kind of, you know, when you look at this, somebody that's been in that fire area, they may have not lost their house, but they lost their trees and stuff. It's kind of a psychological eyesore test, I guess, is what. There's no adjustment.
If something like that is affecting the market, we will certainly adjust for it. But what we do is we look at market data. And the current market data we have doesn't indicate that we should be adjusting.
Quackie?
I'm finding it incomprehensible that you can burn 39 acres out of 40 in a 40-acre slot, and that is at least worth as much as it was before the fire, if not more. Maybe I'm a little too close to this because the fire got within about a mile and a quarter of where I live, and I have to drive through it every day going to and fro. Additionally, if the numbers you have are the numbers you have, then I recognize why you need to head down the trail that you're heading down, but I still haven't quite figured out how this works. I mean, if you have to clean up the 39 acres before the trees all fall over or after they fall over, to me it would appear that it's almost a negative value, that if you have to clean up how many ever acres of trees to get them out of there so willow or whatever comes next can grow, that there would be a huge expense with that. I know one of the properties in your sale list was for airplane runways, so I imagine that it made very little difference to the chap who's going to bulldoze it all anyway, whether they were standing up or knocked over. But anyway, I guess that's more of a comment than a question, but that's our reality who live out there.
Senator Mayfield?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Likewise, I find it a little incomprehensible. I managed some firestorms down in California in my younger days, and I know that those folks got tax relief through some decreased assessments, basically losing their home and losing quite a bit of valuable view property. I'm not necessarily disputing your numbers, but perhaps there's a different way of looking at this, combining a pre-fire approach and a post-fire approach to what the value of the property may have been at the time. So, and I would imagine you've probably done some of that analysis. Are you finding any difference whatsoever? And I'll follow that up with a question I'm not so sure that you'll be able to answer, but perhaps the attorney can, if you can't. Is there a way for the assembly to provide some tax relief on its own to those properties, just recognizing the fact that You know, they have lost some valuable view property, you know, and you know, are dealing with the cleanup and dealing with the you know, the ash on the property and so forth. So is there a way for us to do that?
Okay. I'll answer the first question. We did. That's why I know how many sales occurred pre-fire, is I wanted to know what the ratio was before that fire occurred. I wanted to know if we were so low originally that there could have still been a loss in value that we weren't recognizing. I was kind of surprised by these numbers because truthfully, I would think that there would be a loss in value. I certainly would not buy a property that had burned if I could buy another property that had not, or I would pay less for it. That's just, that seems to be common sense. So we did run the ratios pre, and so we ran them for 5 years, so we had enough data to look at that. We did just go through a reassessment of that area, and anyone that lives up there will probably attest to the fact that the properties went up considerably. So there was quite a bit of market data that showed that the values up there were increasing from the previous time that we had assessed them. And we do, I mean, when we have 8 sales that are post-fire in this amount of time in an area that's not a high market area as far as numbers, I think that's pretty good data that we're going to look to that says, okay, you know, you're at 82%, to make any additional adjustment doesn't make sense. And I know that if you've had property that burns, it's going to take several years for it to recover. You know, it may be something, it may be the reason there's so much activity up there is people don't want to live there anymore now that it's burned. Like I say, we have 19 current listings. However, the people that are listing those properties, the realtors that are listing them, and the folks that are buying them, all feel that the property is worth more than our assessed value. That's why we're at 60% of what they're being listed for. Not all of them have sold at that high price. Like I say, we have 2 that are right at our assessed value, and we have 1 that sold for less than our assessed value. But we have enough data that I'm pretty confident that the data is giving us the right guidance. As far as any relief from the assembly, you will have to ask law about that. From my position as the assessor, I can't give relief. I have to follow the market data.
We'll do one more question. Assembly member Beck, and then we're going to...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, as far as I understand, you know, Mr. Pickett and the assessor's office, they're guided by state standards and laws with regards to how they assess the property. So the comprehensible part is they're doing what their job tells them to do. And I think, you know, I think your question, Assemblymember Mayfield, is a good question. And I think it's our job as an assembly, and I think the attorney might be able to give us some guidance on this. I think it's our job if we want to offer a rebate. We do that all the time. We've given veterans rebates. We've given people who are foreclosed on. We've given exemptions. We've done exemptions for seniors. So, I mean, that's something we can do. But I don't know we would do anything here tonight because, I mean, we can't take any action here. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
Well, I think we're going to wrap up tonight. We could get a legal, any assembly member could talk to Mr. Spropoulos, but we better get on to our main agenda item, the rec bonds. And I want to thank you, Mr. Pickett, for coming in. And I don't know how you came up with the funnest job in the Matsu Borough. So,
thank you.
How long is your comment?
The exemptions you talked about are authorized under state law. There's no exemption under state law that you can authorize beyond what's already being done, which is revaluation of the property after the fire.
Very good.
What you could do, as I mentioned, is perhaps put money into this year's budget to help the community clean up efforts
You've gone too far now, by now. Just kidding. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Pickett. And it's a very interesting, tough thing coming out of that sockeye fire. So we have next on the list. Now, I see everybody signed up for the bonds. You could talk now or wait till after you listen to some of the staff give a report on the bonds. We've got Amanda Cavosetto. You want to go now? She wants to wait. Talon Bovey. She's going to speak. Okay, if you could turn the mic on and just state your name for the record, please.
My name is Talon Bovey, and I would like to speak in favor of the additions to the bond proposal. First, I would like to say that I think this was an unfortunate time to hold the public hearing. 4 p.m. on a weekday means that the majority of voters would have to take time off from work to attend. I live in Willow and had to leave my house at 2:30 p.m. to get here. Someone from Talkeetna would leave their home an hour earlier than that. I understand that the argument against the additions to the bond is cost, the logic being that voters will go to the polls in October willing to support an $18 million bond and not $22 million. I believe that the inclusion of $4 million worth of projects will increase the odds of the bond's success. The additional projects appeal to a different cross-section of the population, as close to something for everyone as we are liable to get with a recreation bond. The location of the add-ins must be considered as well. Several sites that would receive funding are in Willow and Talkeetna, two areas that consistently have higher than average voter turnouts. Projects in these areas would gather support for the bond as a whole. There will be opponents of this bond because there will always be people who are against increased taxes for any reason. And there will be supporters of the basic bond package who will complain about the extra $4 million. But I believe that when the time comes, these voters will be willing to pay an extra 56 cents a month to get the upgrades they want while increasing the recreational opportunities available for the rest of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Crean Hickey, do you want to talk now or do you want to wait till after the? Okay. A minute, 30 each. Go ahead, state your name.
Corrine Hickey. I've come before in, I think it was February, and I told you I was in favor of this bond in the first place, and I am still in favor of the bond. With our fiscal times, I'm not too thrilled about additions to the bond. I think we need to stick to basics and fix our core area where most of the voters are anyway. I agree with some of the points she made, but I also tell you that I will pay that extra money if that's what it takes. So I want you to at least put this bond forward so we can vote on it and let the voters decide. Don't squash it beforehand. So those are my 2 cents now, and I'll see what you have to say. I might come back again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Donna Johnson? Donna? State your name for the record and welcome.
Donna Johnson. I'm here to support the recreation bond as well. My granddaughter's not here with me tonight because she's skating at the Brat, and she skates many, many hours there and enjoys every minute of it. It seems funny to be emotional about it. It is. I especially think it's important that we do this, that we include the funding, because it puts a lot of kids in a safe place. I don't have to worry about her while she's there. It's well managed, it's clean, it's super important. You know, it's open from, I don't know, whatever hours need to be, but 8 in the morning till 11 at night is not unusual. I know there was a wedding there once, not too long ago, which I thought was quite unusual and be fun to do. There's young children in our valley that need to be kept busy all the way from, you know, the Brett takes kids my son, who's 50-something or other, is also a skater there. You know, it just really involves a lot of people. It's a family thing. Open skate is just great. Tons of people come. I mean, it's almost kamikaze sometimes. but it's well managed. I mean, they don't get hurt. I've never seen a child hurt there, unless they just plain fell. And it's just a super place to play and a super place to be. There's many, many lists that the Mat-Su Valley is on in the United States as being the worst of whatever it is. I just think that having recreation and having the Brett is a very important item for all of us, for the quality of life here in the valley, and I'm sure you've heard that before. There's United Way and the nonprofits in this valley are trying very hard to help children with trauma, the kids that have grown up with trauma in their lives. I work at a place who's working very hard on that as well. Unless the children learn something else to do when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, and on up, you know, they're going to be right there in that same group that doesn't know what to do with themselves when they get older. I think the Brett is an affordable place. They have learned to skate. They have just individual skating. They have lessons. They have hockey that provides physical education for the homeschool children. And I can't think of a better place. I'd like to have my granddaughter and my son, when he was small, to grow up. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Appreciate it. Mr. Haberman, you want to speak now or reserve till a later one? No. That option. Come on up. Let's go. That was a personal one. Yours.
What?
Pete.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I reside in the Mat-Sitna Valley. I represent myself. Follow the process used by officials for these public meetings and the appropriate process used for these public meetings. The decision made by the governing body will more likely be in the public interest. First, I would like to compliment members of the Assembly in the way you changed the agenda today. You provided two audience participations for the public to be engaged with you before you make decisions. One prior to the discussion on the bonds and one after the discussion on the bonds. For some time, as you know, I attend meetings. Probably have a record as far as those present being at these meetings so frequently. And I frequently raised concern in your meetings where you would have public participation, audience participation first, and then go into an issue like 4 o'clock meeting, and then there's no chance for public response. Today you did something different, and I applaud you for doing that. I would strongly encourage you to continue that practice, to engage the public, having two audience participations. The cost in that is providing a better opportunity for you to hear from the public before you make that decision, and ensures that your decision is more likely going to be in the public interest. Wow, minute 33. I do want to address another issue. That is the fee issue that you passed on a resolution on. Now, I addressed prior to this meeting concern that resolution was mixed with items that require an ordinance for public hearing and others that did not. As of today, the borough is yet to finish research to determine which ones those are. So there was no public hearing. You passed a resolution on those fees, and it's mixed in with fees that require a public hearing. And I stated this to you at a previous meeting. You were silent on this issue, but the fact is that's the situation as it is today. So this needs to change. You can't be passing resolutions that have a mixture of items that require a public hearing and that do not require a public hearing. And that's what you've done. And this needs to be corrected, and you need to reverse that. And you really should open up to a full public hearing on all the items for fees. And I want to stress this. You might hear the response, well, resolutions do not require a public hearing. But it's not against the ordinance for you to hold a public hearing. Thank you.
No, that's all we have on our sign-up list. Anybody else wish to speak at this time? We do have that second. Come on forward. You could reserve till afterwards, too. Okay. State your name for the record and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you. This is Emily Dox.
My neighbor, by the way.
You're from Willow. I'm here representing Waco overall, but as co-chair of our youth forum, I'm particularly interested in the development, as is our group, in safe
Excuse
places.
Me, could you go ahead and state your name for the record?
Linda Oxley. Yeah. In support of the development of safe places and activities for kids, teens, and families. Therefore, I speak for quite a number of our community members who are not able to attend today. Waco generated a letter, and I'll read that into your records. The Willow Area Community Organization, Waco, recognized by the borough as the community council, supports the proposed recreational bond. The bond includes park development, Haswell Norris Trail system improvements, and ice skating opportunities in Willow. These items join the request for the Palmer and Wasilla pools and the Brett Ice Arena repairs. While we are concerned about the impact of the state's economic issues, there will be a continuing and growing need for healthy recreation within our community. Our community members are able to use these resources, but distance precludes any regular use of pools and ice arena. Instead, we have a long history of developing local and easily accessed ways to be active in the outdoors. Extensive winter trails, expanding summer trails, and now a park. The park is being developed with healthy and active alternatives for people of all ages, with all levels of mobility from wheelchair bound through runners, cyclists, etc. The park will offer someone for everyone as the Haswell and Norris Trail system continues to support our multitude of trail users. And last, a roof over the existing ice rink. We appreciate the opportunity to have some of our projects included in this bond. These will allow continuing development of local options. We encourage your support for the recreational bond package in support of healthy lifestyles. Respectfully, Waco. Lonnie, do you want these?
Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to speak on the bond package before we take it up? Ms. Rosnell, please come forward. State your name for the record and welcome.
Thank you. My name is Patricia Rosnell. We're in some pretty tough fiscal times, not just the state, but also the borough. And so in your deliberations over this recreation bond, I would ask you to consider the following, and that would be not to discuss this bond outside of the context of the budget as a whole and the other upcoming obligations that it seems you'll be talking about, like the road bond. And we don't know all what loans might be in your minds, and COPs. I know Mr. Mayfield has several thoughts on obligations for emergency services. So long-term obligations, existing costs of operations and maintenance for our current increased obligations as a result of our influx of capital projects and building, our existing long-term debt, the things we've already been obligated for and are paying off now, that's a part of the whole picture. My understanding is over 50% of our allocated long-term debt we've already obligated. So we're filling up fast there. And basically, I would just say, please consider your fiduciary responsibility to residents. That's key. And we look forward to hearing this in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to participate in audience participation at this time? If not, I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Moosey, and he's going to turn it over to Eric Phillips.
Eric Phillips, Community Development Director. First of all, I just want to thank the Assembly for taking some time tonight to actually discuss, hopefully in depth, the rec bond. excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat before I came up here. I do not have another presentation for you tonight, because I have presented the bond package to this body a couple other times previously. I hope you do have a copy of the one-page summary that I provided with you to assist you in your deliberation. And of course, we are going to stay here to answer any questions that may come up during the course of the discussion. I will say I do believe that the sooner a decision's made regarding the scope of work for this bond, the better off we'll all be to give the public ample time to digest exactly what is ultimately proposed. I'd also like to take one last opportunity to remind the assembly, particularly with regard to the pools and ice rink, that we're not talking about nice to have items or extra bells and whistles here. We're talking about restoring 35-year-old facilities so we can get at least another 20 years of useful life out of them. With that, I'll sit down and listen. Like I said, myself and my staff are available if you need any additional information. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to Assemblymember Beck, Mr. Phillips, I think it might be wise if you just stay close to the front and just guessing, but Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to Director Phillips, I've heard some people talk about the concern that this is beyond a phase of community involvement. Can you talk a little bit about what it could like or what it could look like? Should we send this to the voters in October, and let's say it does pass, what would the community involvement look like once it passes? Specifically, like, what would the involvement of the community be in, like, the final design of the pool? Like, there's concern that the pool is designed and not going to work according to the needs of the community.
At this point, the pool is absolutely not designed. All we have developed at this point are conceptual plans. If the bond were successful, then there would certainly be active participation during the design process from any of the pool user groups that want to participate. So nothing's locked in. Right now, like I say, everything is conceptual. If we're successful, when we start putting the ink to the paper, then we're going to need to make sure that we account for all the users' group needs, and we will.
Go ahead, Mr. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just a quick follow-up for the concern of those who want to hear this. There's a commitment to having the pools be competition ready and capable. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What do we got next here?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To Director Phillips, to the mayor. I was actually a little surprised to see that the organization of this one sheet page indicating, you know, kind of the original proposal and then the potential additions. Because I kind of thought we had talked through this and we were adding these additions based on some consensus with at least three assembly members who were involved in the process. I can certainly talk through why these additions were added, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that.
For clarification, you're talking about these items?
That's correct.
Well, you can correct me if I'm off here, Mr. Mayfield, but my interpretation of the recent additions were made was to provide more area-wide amenities for the entire borough, as opposed to the perception that those in the rural areas might have, that if we have a pool and ice rink bond, there's really not anything in it for us. And so I think it was an attempt to spread out the benefit to the citizens of the borough.
Yeah, that's essentially correct. Make the bond package more appealing to the more to rural areas as well as the core area. We wanted something that was that had a mass appeal to a lot of voters who would be able to support our efforts in the recreational field. We also received some documentation just recently, I believe, from your department, from Earth Economics, that indicated that for every $1 that we spend on open space type of activities, that we get a $5.31 return.
I believe that's what the report, it was somewhere in that range. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a substantial multiplier, yes.
Yeah, and that gives some stimulus to the economies of to the borough-wide economy, correct? Okay. Thank you.
And I guess I would like to just, the reason I structure it like this, when I did my first presentation, this is what I offered, you know, offered up as a bond. Then substantial discussions, these things were added. It has nothing to do with trying to slight you know, any of the projects in the outlying areas.
Culligan, did you have a...
Yes, I just had some basic questions as we go through the budget process. So items on here, like trails projects and stuff, things I'm interested in, are these in these trails in the existing proposed budget for maintenance and other things? So if the bond passes, how does that affect the department budget? Is it completely independent? Kind of what kind of effects are there? Historically, we haven't had enough money to maintain the facilities we already have, and I'm just kind of curious as we go through the discussion of how these bonds would impact the budget. Does that, if you have a, you're going to put together, we're going to go through an existing budget, are some of these trails and maintenance and stuff already in that budget, and this is going to free up some funds? I just kind of like to know that story as we go through the budget.
Are you talking about across the board, pools, ice rink, and trails, or just trails?
Kind of, in general, if the community votes for this, does it have any additional impact on the existing budget? And I think we should kind of understand that as we go through the budget process. I don't expect you to answer right now, but those are my questions, is if the bond was to pass, how does that affect, are these new trails and there's already money for maintenance? Does that free up money for other projects? Kind of what's the net? And if they don't pass, what's the budget now? But I think we're all concerned that, just like the ice rink or the pool, et cetera, we have maintenance problems. And then I'm looking, Mrs. Munoz out there, if we're talking about septic, et cetera, we don't even have now. But as we look at these facilities, how are we set up current budget, and what's it happen after? Are there monies in there that address maintenance and other stuff, or are these just new stuff?
I can tell you right now, our fiscal year 2017 budget that we're going to be going through does not include the maintenance for the trails. I would defer to Mr. Leslie, but I do not we have a couple trails crews on staff every summer anyway. I think we would just add these into the flow, into the mix with the other trails. I don't anticipate any additional. I'm not going to ask for more people or.
Yeah. So, but as a follow-up, so what about maintenance for the ice arena, maintenance for the pools?
That one I would like Mr. Leslie to speak to, because he's been far more involved in those two projects than I have.
Thank you. Hugh Leslie, Recreation Library Services Manager, through the Mayor, to Assemblyman Culligan. We operate the pools and the ice rink with a maintenance budget. The addition, if the improvements are put through on the three facilities, I don't want to necessarily say our maintenance costs would go down, but because we have newer equipment, we would have less maintenance costs in repairing and replacing what is now 30 plus year old pieces of equipment. I don't want to say there would be a major cost savings, but there would certainly be less repairs and maintenance done.
Okay, so I guess the net question again is, so let's just take a pool for instance, just so we have an example, is that let's say we have a budget with maintenance let's say the bond doesn't pass, we have budget for maintenance. The bond does pass, we're replacing that equipment completely within 6 months, and we don't have the same maintenance requirements, or do or don't, would be the question for the remainder of the year. And anyway, just wondering about real impacts of capital money versus maintenance money, and as we sit around the table and discuss that through the budget, what's the net for the public? And these are new trails, new maintained trails, just kind of that discussion, what the net is for both scenarios.
Through the mayor, do you want me to answer that, or
no? I think it'd be better. I think it's a pretty heavy lift, but yeah. I guess that's what I'm
Thank
looking
you.
For as we discussed during the budget, which is going to be a long, drawn out public process. But those are some questions I know I have that the public's going to have that I would hope that we would address. And as a community, do we have money to maintain the facilities that we have, and what are we doing, and what are the risks of each one of these items varies greatly, and the risk to the public, the risk to the facility, you know, some of them are nice to have, and some of them are liabilities. And I'm just looking to have that discussion, how it affects your budget or doesn't, whether it passes or doesn't pass.
Okay, Assemblymember Qualkey, then we'll do Assemblymember Doty and Assemblymember Beck.
Speaking on some of the items, I can maybe answer your question. Prior to charging down the road to adding Talkeetna and Willow outdoor ice rinks, I contacted Luke Fulp at the school district and have their assurances, although it's not in writing, that these facilities would be maintained on their properties. The Willow Community Park, Ms. Oxley's here, their organization would be handling the maintenance on the park. To my knowledge, there are no new trails, and there are trail committees in all these areas, not the least of which is my home base there in Willow. There's already discussions. There's a meeting tomorrow night on what they're going to be doing with that, so it's more of an update. Fish Lake parking lot, I have no knowledge of what a maintenance liability that might be. Regarding maintenance liabilities in general, I think the reason we're looking at a $18 million bond is that we haven't maintained anything properly in the past. And based on the current fee schedule, I don't see that changing in the future. So I don't see our outlier projects as being the threat to maintenance that the Palmer Wasilla Centric projects are.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, through the mayor. Just some comments for Mr. Phillips. A couple of things that I would like to see provided for better information for both the assembly, but also for the public. Really looking at, with this investment, what is the depreciation rate of the asset over time? So, you know, we have not done the maintenance. Now we're going to, you know, improve the current quality. How long will that remain a fairly functional facility until we again have to look at major investment? So I think time would be useful. I mean, I've got a list, so. The second thing is I do think that the Nine Trails projects needs to be defined specifically so that people understand. I know we've talked about it briefly, but I, for the public's purpose, in order to consider this, if it does go up for a bond, they're gonna wanna know exactly where those trails are and what area it impacts. I would like a lot more information on the potential additions about the current use, projected use with improvement, and the number of persons that it impacts, especially when you're looking at a $1.25 million project for Big Lake Trail bridges. I'm not sure where that's located, but more specifically, how much use that's gonna impact for the future. I know you can't always get those numbers, but there are some ways to project those.
Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I would concur with what's been said so far. I think a lot more details are going to have to be lined out before this goes before the voters. But in general, as we have the conversation, what I've been thinking of is I've been remembering the gentleman that came a while back and talked about the value of having the kind of the trail space and the recreational space and how that directly impacts development and growth in your community. So
I think, you know, in general, I support the idea with putting these in front of the voters, but I think they're going to need a lot more specific details.
Member Mayfield?
Actually, I just wanted to comment on the on Mr. Culligan's question in regards to trails specifically. You know, the borough does actively solicit trail maintenance agreements. And what's that? And those maintenance agreements utilize volunteers to supply the bulk of the work that's done on trail systems to keep them maintained. So again, the bang for the buck is there. And it gives a stimulus to each one of the communities that are served by trailheads, both summer and winter, depending on the multi-use of the trail system. Winter visitation, summer visitation, as well as supporting the businesses in the area. So I feel that that's a very worthwhile economic package that we can present to the voters. And those 9 trail projects are specifically identified in the bond package, so the voters will clearly see those. And as well as a descriptive write-up on each one of the additional projects that we see here as potentials.
Member Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to Mr. Phillips. It's my recollection that we've already discussed the 9 trails, and I just wonder if you have kind of a list of them that you might jog my memory with.
Yes, you're correct, Mr. Sykes. During the original presentation, I did provide a list of the 9 trail projects as well as amounts for each one. Ridge Trail, Basilica Creek Headwaters Trail, Menard Sports Complex Trail System, Plumley Mod, Matanuska Riverfront Trail North and South, Brazil Springs, the Crevasse Moraine, Hessler Norris, as well as the Herning Trail. Those are the nine trails that we proposed. Seven of the 9 are existing trails. We're not talking about building 9 new trail systems. We're talking about significant rebuilding, adding connections and improvements to 7 of the 9. 2 of them would be new trails. Well, I say that what they would be doing is connecting trail segments to actually make a trail system where there was no trail system before. We do have the list. We do have the details, the cost estimates, and the descriptions, for the trails, as well as obviously the detailed facility analysis for both the ice rink and the pools.
Senator Culligan?
So I have a question for the manager as we're having this discussion. So do we have any, and I don't expect an answer at the moment, just kind of for reference, but do we have debt we're retiring or other bonds that are going away this year that and what's the future of our existing debt requirements look like as we go into the budget season? I think that would be important to know.
You want to try answering that tonight, or you want to reserve time?
I'm going to call a friend. I will have it our next regular meeting after tonight, that information. It's available and handy, and I certainly understand, is there an opportunity to do these projects without affecting our taxpayers? We will have that for you.
Okay, Mr. Phillips, on your sheet there, you got the calculations on the tax, how it affects taxes. Is that based on the $218,000 family home? Is that the average?
I believe, let me double check here. I believe it was. Yes, $218,000 home based on 2016 fiscal year tax rate, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Phillips? So, Senator McKee? Yeah, it seems to me when we're looking at these bond packages that the folks who have elected to have a rural lifestyle want the urban comforts and recreation, and they don't want to pay for it so much as they want the folks in the urban area to pay for it. That's one. So I'm not enthusiastic about these. The other is a lot of communities have volunteers to maintain and construct their trails. If in fact we don't have that here and people simply want the borough or government to maintain the trails, I'm dead set against that.
I guess the one point I would make would be to, I think, reiterate was Mr. Mayfield indicated. We have dozens of trail agreements with volunteer groups throughout the borough. Volunteer groups do a significant amount of trail maintenance for the borough, saving us a lot of money. So in many areas, the people that live there, the volunteers, do support their trail systems. Willow in particular, they do very well at looking after what's in their backyard.
At some point in the future, I really would like trails are being maintained by volunteers, specifically. Not just many, I'd like to know.
I can't tell you that off the top of my head, but I can definitely get that information.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Assemblymember Doty, do you have a question?
Yes, through the mayor to Mr. Phillips. I think another tool that would be useful is, I believe there's a long-term master plan for a link trails throughout the borough. I think that piece of information would also be helpful to look at what the master plan is that proposes that as part of the long-term transportation plan.
If you're talking about the borough interconnectivity trail project, it kind of fell on rough times a couple years ago when we went through the public comment period, quite frankly. A large majority of those folks that had proposed linkages near them did not want that trail to be improved. They didn't, either A, because it was in their backyard and they didn't want more people hiking it, or B, they, and it's kind of connected, it was their own little private trail and they didn't want to encourage those outside the borough and outside Alaska to use that trail. So that project was never completed because the project was not viewed favorably.
Just in follow-up, if I could. I'm thinking of an example of Lake Chelan area in Washington State where they have made a big economic driver of having linked trails. So I'm just thinking that may be part of the conversation.
It was one of my big projects, so I'm still on board with it. I just don't know how to get there from here right now as far as public sentiment.
Assemblymember Mayfield?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. With all due respect, I do need to address Mr. McKee's comment in regards to people choosing to live in rural areas and the benefits that they get. Seriously, the folks that live in rural areas get less services than those who live in the more core areas, but yet they pay the same mill rate tax. So to suggest that should continue, I think, is an inequity that needs to be addressed. And I think we're beginning on that journey by providing those areas with a few more amenities. Not a whole lot. We're just trying to make this package a little more attractive to a more diverse group of voters. And I think with the additions here, it does that. Frankly, without the additions, I will probably advocate in my community that we not vote for this package. So I certainly would advocate the potential additions that we have here so that we can make this attractive to everyone. Thanks.
Assemblymember Kwaki and then Assemblymember Sykes.
Yeah, we've been through several of these sessions. I don't understand the mystery of the trails. We talked about this a couple of different presentations. There are connector trails, there are existing trails that need work. There are trail groups in these areas that have been maintaining these trails. So having said that, this list wasn't something that was drawn out of the waste bin on the way by. These were, I visited in my area, the community councils, Chamber of Commerce, other groups talked about prospective projects. I'm assuming that Mr. Mayfield and Mr. Sykes have done the same thing. When this was initially presented to us, it appeared to be a program where the rural folks were going to repair the pools and the ice rink for the Palmer-Wasilla-centric neighborhoods. 4% of that original bond package was going to the North End. Without, to avoid having an illegal meeting, only Mr. Sykes and Mr. Mayfield and I sat down with you, as you recall, and fleshed out some projects of interest for our area, which brings this percentage of the bond package up to, I believe, 13% in the northern area, or outlying areas, if you will. And we've done our homework on this, and if the idea, if the end game is to strip everything out of here, but the pools and the BRAT, there's going to be another vote on the assembly against this.
Member Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for the manager, in regards to the question that Assemblymember Mayfield raised, I think the cost of community services study that we were expecting could help answer some of these questions. Are we going to see that soon?
As soon as I can get somebody back from Seattle to do the summary and cover sheet, yes. And he should be back next week before he goes back the following week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Or I guess, you know, this bond package, you know, at the value that it has proposed and the additions is still pretty reasonable. I noticed Anchorage passed several different bonds, April 4th or whatever their recent election was. I think there was at least two rec bonds on there. The only bond that didn't pass in Anchorage, which was kind of a surprise to me, was a school bond. And I think it was out of five or six. I think we do need to vet this. It's very interesting to put it in front of the voters and let the voters vote on it. You know, we have seven districts. Our districts are equal in population. We have a big Mat-Su borough size of West Virginia. It is spread out. I lived off the grid in Trapper Creek for 26 years, no power and things like that. I live in Willow. No, I do not consider that rural. I don't think I even consider Talkeetna rural anymore. I guess I would put Squinton in rural. Big Lake is definitely not rural. Lake Louise, it's up there ways, but it's a... So, you know, things have changed here in the Mat-Su borough, and a little parity amongst everybody as far as these bonds, I think, is fair. I think that's why the road bond passed in 2011. There was, every district was considered in that. The school bond was different. We based the school bond on necessity, where we needed our schools built, and I thought that carried the day in that. So this is a good bond pack. I would ask the manager and Mr. Phillips and maybe Ms. Sullivan to work on the title and descriptive nature of this so that everybody that looks at it will know exactly what they're voting on, the various segments and things like that. And at some point in time, it's got to go in front of the assembly to be voted on. And unless there's any more questions, is Mr. Moosey. And then we'll go to Mr. Beck. Mr. Beck, you get priority.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it would require a resolution, right, from someone from the assembly to sponsor a resolution or an ordinance. I'd be happy to sponsor that on behalf of your office. I think this is worthwhile to take to the voters, taking into account what we've discussed tonight.
Okay, Mr. Moosey.
Yeah, since he's taken action, the question I was going to have is I have six things I've heard to tonight that you want in addition. So my question was going to be, do you want to move forward with the ordinance with this information, or do you want this information first before we bring back that ordinance? But Mr. Beck is going to be sponsoring that. We will provide this information to you at the first chance, and then you can deal with the ordinance sponsored by Mr. Beck.
Assembly members, how do you want to? You want to have the descriptions written for these new projects and go with that? Assembly member Culligan?
I'd like to see the information, whether they come together or not, it doesn't matter, but I would like to see the information before we have further discussion.
Anybody else? Everybody agree with Mr. Culligan? So I guess we'll get some descriptive things for the new additions and go from there. Anything else on this by assembly members? We're going to have audience participation now. We have a second chance. Ma'am, I can't remember your name. Amanda Cabocetto, do you want to speak now?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Appreciate that.
Hello. My name is Amanda Cabo-Settle, and I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a mom. My children have been taking swimming lessons at the Palmer Pool for over 5 years now. My daughter is currently a swimmer with the Northern Lights Swim Club, and my son's goal right now is to swim for the swim club. Most of our birthday parties are held at the pool, and we spend most of our extra time at the pool. In our time at the pool, we have dealt with the pool being shut down when the pump is broken down, along with other sorts of mechanical issues. The Palmer Pool staff is amazing and does the best with what they have, but we are getting to a point that without a replacement of the system, we won't have a pool to go to anymore. That would devastate our family, it would devastate the swim club, it would devastate our high school swimmers, and it would devastate many community members that use the pool because there are no real options for those whose bodies cannot handle the impact of other exercise. I truly understand the bad timing that we are faced with by putting out this out to bond now, but we as a community have put ourselves here by waiting this long, and I'm scared that if we wait too much longer, we'll find ourselves without a public pool in the valley. Thank you.
Thank you. Karina, did you want to do your extra minute and a minute 30?
Thank you very much. Karine Hickey, it was very interesting to listen to you and get all your different ideas. I have a couple things, Mr. Mayfield. You said that you would not encourage your district to vote for this, and I think it's really sad because even without those, that's your only indoor pool. You're not gonna have one wherever your district is. I'm sorry, I don't know where District 5 is, but it's your indoor pool, it's the core area of the Valley. It's your indoor rink. You're not gonna have an indoor rink where you're at. So you should support that anyway, because this is your valley, and those are your facilities, and those are the only ones you've had since the 80s. So I strongly suggest that you support it, whether you get your extras or not. I still don't agree in these fiscal times to add all those extras, so I'm not in support in that second part. But as a parent, as a coach, as a referee, I would still vote for it to get it. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm not adding extra stuff like that and 1.2 million for Big Lake Trail bridges. Mm-mm. Not right now with everything that's happening. I think that the Brett has done a very good job in maintaining an old rink. I remember when it was built in the 80s. I remember when Teeland's was the main store. So yes, this valley has changed. The refrigerant, I don't know if you've been told at the Brett, from what I've been told, is gonna be not, you can't even buy it in 5 years. So if we don't change that system now, we are not gonna have a rink. And this is our indoor rink in Wasilla. So I think they've done a good job in maintaining it as is, but if we don't fix it, we're gonna keep having more repair issues. They invite, 200 kids a day through that? How would you like 200 kids a day through your house, right? You would have to rebuild your house, wouldn't you? You'd have to maintain it. Same deal with the Brett. So I really wanna ask you, I appreciate you putting that forward, that we want to be a public that votes on this. We don't want you to squash it. Let us voters vote whether we wanna spend this money. Definitely be fiscally responsible when you do it, though, with the budget. However, please support it, even in the outlying areas, even if it doesn't get those extras in there for your area, because these are our indoor pools and our indoor rink. That's all we've got. Thank you.
Thank you. We've
Eugene Haverman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haverman. I reside in Madison, Sydney Valley. To represent myself, I follow the process used by officials for these public meetings. And the appropriate process used for these public meetings, decision made by the governing body will more likely be in the public interest. First, I'd like to recap a couple of my points earlier this evening. I applaud the assembly for arranging to have two audience participations, an opportunity for the public to be engaged. I hope that you will continue doing that regularly at your meetings. And note also, the city of Palmer, city of Wasilla, and city of Houston, they have two places on their agenda for the public to speak outside of the public hearings that they also have. Now, I also like to compliment members of the assembly. Got compliments here, right? But particularly Barbara Doty, with wanting more information, and other members here agreed on dealing with the recreation bonds. This is the page that was part of the packet. There's no identifier of who wrote this, no date for what meeting. This is not normal in the Borough Assembly. But I also, this just gives you totals of these items. I caution the Borough to allow such limited information. And I remind you to reflect what you're still dealing with. And you could almost guess what I'm going to say. The ferry, the docks, repair of the docks. These are on your minds. What are those costs going to be? Now, what will the cost be? Are these the real totals that are going to be? There should be a more perspective to what more details to what's going on in this. And I also would like to comment concern is this. You haven't decided on this issue. I respect that. But before you decide on the issue, you shouldn't have an opinion before you have hear from the public. That prejudices the situation for when you do make a decision. You cannot pre-announce your opinions before you really hear from the public, and particularly at a time when the information is limited for what the public can see and what you can see on these items. And 29 seconds to say this. The budget, that you're having budget hearings, and this will be the third year in a row when you're holding budget hearings in conflict with the Borough Planning Commission. And I would strongly encourage you to work between those two parties, yourself and the Planning Commission, to correct this. May 2nd is a conflict. I told that to the Assembly, the Planning Commission last night. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Snyder, do you want to speak? Dot Helm, do you want to speak too sometime? Mr. Strassenberg?
Okay. Terry Snyder, I just want to, I love this idea of coming up with a bond package for the whole borough. And I think you should also take into consideration a healthier community is a happier community. If people are recreating, if people are going out using theirs, there are costs to these, but there's huge benefits to communities to having people that are healthy. And if they're utilizing these recreational services, they're doing it. Going back to what Mayor Halter said about the last bond package, he was exactly right when he said there was something in it for everybody. Even with the schools, there was something in it, because the communities that weren't getting new schools, they were getting school renovations. And that speaks to, we all care about each other. It is sort of a global reflection on what goes on. And updating these facilities will save money. The pools are way beyond their life and they're highly used. We don't have the option of other facilities like Anchorage does. We use our stuff a lot. So I think this is a good approach. I think that this is a beginning of a step process. This is not what's going on the ballot. You're gonna have a lot more thoughtful approach to it. The language is gonna be there. And then work comes. That's for the assembly and the people that support this to get out and educate the public on it. There were people in this assembly probably not sitting here now, that were totally against the $218 million school bond. But at the end of the day, it was overwhelmingly supported because the public was educated, the facts were there, and the need was shown. So I think this is a great step forward.
Anyone else? Ms. Helm?
Thank you. I'm Dot Helm. I live in Palmer. I'm a trail user, volunteer. I'm on a couple different boards. And I use trails a lot. I support the bond package, and some of the questions that have come up today, I agree with. One of the things that's hard, well, one thing, the maintenance features going on. I know there's trail crews out there, but also in designing the trails themselves, sometimes getting input from the public that's actually using the trails, not the ones that necessarily come to meetings, there's very different populations there. And how you get hold of that, I don't know. That's something we're struggling with at the Matanuska Greenbelt right now. Because we've got four different property owners, and we've got everything from moms with baby joggers up to mountain runners. We've got competitive bikers. We've got people that are using the area for science, natural resource stuff. Cultural history. I was just out with Fran Siegerboss on Sunday, plowing around some of those older areas, the real old areas. There's just huge, and what people want is going to be very different. And most of those people are probably not going to get to public meetings because they may not know about them. They don't always respond to electronic stuff. It's kind of need to be multitasked. And I've been trying to, I did some trail counts last summer, just not scientifically, just trying to get a handle on, I didn't know there were this many people out here, and getting an idea of the distribution of types of users. And one thing we found, because we were trying to get some information for the university as far as what groups are out there, we frequently refer to trail groups. Anybody that would answer the survey did not identify with a group, or they emphatically said independent. So, and I don't know how, and we're trying to go around asking people on the trail. There's a good presentation by Interior Trails at the Trails Conference last spring about how they actually took off they were trail builders. They took off their vests while they were building the trails. It was an area, fairly steep trail, I guess. I'm not familiar with it, but what their task from the city had been to fix the trail, but keep the experience for the people, what the trail users wanted. That's kind of like saying, build a sustainable trail, Blazing Mountain. You'd have all the mountain runners happy. And they found some compromises, and they understood the technology or the sustainability enough to be able to mix things. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Tamara Bobby.
My name is Tam Bobby. I'm going to go off on a different tangent here for a minute. I'd like to comment on the Sockeye property assessments. Mr. Pickett's supporting sale data has been for vacant land. There are homes for sale on the burned property, and they're not selling. I don't believe Mr. Pickett has any data on home sales in relation to appraisal numbers, because I don't think there have been any. I can't dispute that land is selling in the Sockeye area. However, no one's interested in buying a home there, and I think it's important that that distinction is made. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Strasberg.
My name is John Strassenberg. I live in Talkeetna, and I've been involved in community affairs for many, many years. My particular interest is trails and parks. And I can assure you that the trails and parks projects that are in this package, both in the main package and the additions, are worthy projects, and they contribute both to recreation for visitors and residents, and also to our economies. I also want to say that I appreciate Mr. Beck's comment about community participation at the back end. If these bonds do pass, I think it's absolutely critical that that the community participate in the design and implementation of these projects to make sure that their needs are met. I also think that community participation at the front end is very important. Mr. Beck also asked for more details on these projects, and I think that the community should play a central role in providing those kind of details and designing the projects. And I appreciate Mr. Mayfield's comments and standing up for the rural areas. These pool projects are $17 million. And I don't think that the rural areas would derive much direct benefit, if any, from those projects. And they certainly shouldn't be asked to pay for something where they derive no benefit. There has to be a reasonable balance between cost and benefit. And I think that these trails projects that are scattered around the borough and the proposed additions would go a long way in restoring a sense of balance. So I think that's about all I wanted to say, except I want to express my appreciation to my assembly person, Randall Kowalki, for standing up for the northern area and soliciting ideas and engaging the communities to come up with worthy projects. So thanks, Randall. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Schatzenberg. Anyone else want to participate in audience participation? We've got Ms. Rosnell. We'll take one or two more, then we have to move on because we have to have a little bit of lunch before 6 o'clock. So we'll shorten this up, please.
No free lunch. My name is Patricia Rosnell, and I've had a few thoughts during the course of this discussion. One being that, you know, I don't have any objections to the projects. Not at all. My concern is with the cost and with the obligation of the taxpayers. And so I guess I would say that one thing that would sweeten the pot for me and maybe some others who are as fiscally conservative might be to explain, I don't know in what manner, but that we're here from poor planning. And that if this package would continue, would contain perhaps a procedure for and a budget for savings for future required maintenance and replacement, so that in the next 30 years or however long that we find that these will last for, that we won't be put in the same position again. And actually, if we could make that a practice for all projects for OI. Thank you.
Thank you. I got this gentleman back here, then we'll go to Ms. Mills. Come on up. Yes, sir. State your name for the record, and then we'll take Ms. Minos, and we're going to call it an evening.
Yeah, my name is Mike Wilson, and I live here in the Massey Borough, and I just want to say I support those bond packages, especially the BRET. I got three older kids that went through the BRET arena playing hockey, and it's they're all successful kids now, and I think that BRET had a major part in that bringing them up successfully. And I got another one I'm bringing up back there in the back that he's been at the BRET for 2 years now, and it's it helps in the kids' development and keeps them out of trouble. So I support the BRET, and that's all I got. I'm hungry, and you're hungry, so I'm going to let you go.
Thank you. Helen? We saved you for last.
My last but not least, eh? My name is Helen Minos, Borough Assembly and Manager. I voted for the first bond package that went before this Borough Assembly in 1981, October 6th, because I've used the pools and so have my grandchildren. And I've been in this Borough Assembly, and I'll vote for it again. But I'm after something else, and you know what it is. And that still hasn't been addressed after I've been working on it for almost the same length of time that I voted for the pools. And there was one facility built, and that's why I'll be here even for a part time of the meeting tonight. But it's great to see all the recreational facilities. And as a former New Yorker, I'm interested in keeping clean water and good pools. And the only thing that I said at the time, when the first pool went through, there was only about maybe 12,000 people in this borough. And now there's over 100,000. And I'm still fighting something that should have been done when I got here. And nothing that I'm doing am I making a dime on. And I wonder how many people in this room were here to vote for that first pool. Any of you? You? And I've gotten personal finance through in our school system, which should be in every school in the United States. So I work on things, don't get paid for it, and keep yelling, because there are things that are needed. And I'm not living in the 14th colony, I'm living in the 49th state, right? And I came from one of the 13 original colonies, and I have toted you, I've been educating you all these years. Can you imagine that? And I ain't dead yet. And I'm just stubborn enough to live to see our septic systems taken care of, because you've got a lot of rural area that'll never be on sewer. And read the paper of what the DEC is coming down on Palmer and Wasilla for. And you can't dig clams on the eastern side of Cook Inlet now and take them home and eat them. And I could dig clams, all right, I'm only 15 years away from being 100, but I could dig clams on Long Island Sound in New York, in Westport, Connecticut, when I was a kid, and take them home and eat them. My kids in the 60s growing up couldn't do it. Why are we repeating history in the 49th state? And I ain't going back east because I can't get anything done here. It takes a lifetime. And I'm just too stubborn to die. Thank you.
Thank you. We always appreciate it. And so we'll end on that note, audience participation. And let's go to assembly and staff comments. Does any assembly member or staff have comments? We voiced a lot of our comments. Mr. Mayfield, briefly.
Please. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I took a pretty strong stance on the pools, and I'll tell you why. This borough is a very diverse community. We're a whole community. Been one of my toughest tasks since I've gotten on the assembly to make sure that this assembly understands that we have a diverse community and that we all have different needs. And sometimes it's very difficult to have my peers understand the needs of our, if we don't want to call them more rural areas, I'm going to call them maybe less core areas. One portion of our community can't thrive off of another portion of our community that by disenfranchising them. We have to recognize the needs of our entire community. And that's why I was strong in my language. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Mr. Sykes, 1 minute.
Well, I appreciate Assemblymember Mayfield's comments. I think that we do need to pull together. We are a very diverse, different kind of borough. I just wanted to add in that one of my more remote communities in Glacier View, the elementary school sends their school children down here to Palmer to the pool for a week, and those kids know how to swim. And so, you know, even though Glacier View is quite a ways away, they use the Palmer pool. And I do take that into consideration. So Thank you all for your comments, and thank the staff for a great presentation.
Okay, so Member Beck, and then we'll retire.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to pass word on to my fellow Assembly Member Mayfield that I visited your neck of the woods of the rural part from the borough and spent 2 hours this last weekend with someone that can't vote for me. Darn it, but it was worth it. Thank you.
I actually saw you driving down Big Lake Road. Pat, you didn't even wave at me. So anyway, we're gonna, any other comments from, that was Sunday, by the way. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we're gonna adjourn this meeting. It was a good meeting at 4:37 p.m., 5:37:32. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight.
Did you see me?